Tim McNally. Welcome to the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the NOLA Drinks Edition of the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show here on WGSO 990 AM in the Crescent City, New Orleans. This is Brian Diaz, your host. Very happy to be here with you today to kick off, let's call it the unofficial start of the weekend. I think I'm going to go with that from now on. I say sort of say slide into the weekend or get the weekend going. We'll just call it the unofficial start to the weekend. It's Thursday, friends. So here we go. Cruise your way through Friday and the Saturday. Then you're into the weekend. So we're going to go with that. Got a very special show for you today. Very excited about it. Just this past weekend, we spent some time out in Acadiana, and it was a special trip. We went to an event called Runaway Boucherie, put on by a spectacular, wonderful organization called Runaway Dish. We'll talk about them in a minute. The event took place in Grand Coteau, which, if you're not familiar, is just north of Lafayette and just a tad bit further north then of Cairn Crow. And it was out at a camp, and it was a really wonderful event. It was a private event, actually, for the culinary community. And it took place at a camp out there in Grand Coteau. Started on Saturday evening and went all the way through till Monday evening. And the whole idea of the event was really to connect with food, and I guess in a farm-to-table sense, but also connect with traditional Acadian culture and Cajun culture, if that's what you want to call it, and especially the culinary culture involved there. The event featured a whole bunch of people from really all over the region and even all over the world. Frankly, there are a few folks from out of the country and other parts of the country that came in for the event. A lot of local chefs, butchers, folks in the beverage side of things. What happened was it was just a lot of food cooked all over the place. People had brought their smokers. People had brought, you know, their big cast iron pots, skillets, open grills. People were cooking chicken and duck on open bonfires by string. It was an amazing event. Importantly, what the event also involved, again, as I mentioned, was connecting with food, I think, in a very important way. So it was a boucherie, which is the French word and Cajun word for butchering or butcher. And what we saw were butchering demonstrations, and this included the slaughter of a few animals in a very respectful, humane way. And I think that's an interesting part about this event. One of the people that we're going to talk to coming up is Toby Rodriguez, who is a butcher out there in Henderson, which is near Brobridge and Lafayette. And he was head of boucherie out there at the event. And, you know, these things to see were solemn, they were dignified, and I think very important to connect with food. Of course, in the Cajun tradition, the entire animal is used. The food was, you know, butchered in interesting demonstrations and then prepared in numerous different ways by numerous different people that everyone then shared in family-style meals, which was really a wonderful, wonderful experience to do that, meeting these wonderful people. There was a little bar area where people popped up pouring different things. Some cocktails, some wine, some beer. There was coffee out there. We had beers on tap. One of the more interesting parts about this, or wonderful parts about this, I should probably say as well, is, as a lot of us probably know, in Acadian culture, music is an integral part of the whole thing. So Sunday night being the big night, there were two terrific bands, Zydeco Radio, and the leader of that band is the nephew of my friend Roddy Romero. Of Roddy Romero on the Hub City All-Stars, Grammy-nominated group. Roddy was on the show about 3 weeks ago with me, and we connect with Roddy again here at the event. And his nephew's got a fantastic band, again, called Zydeco Radio. They're going to have a record coming out. Watch for it. Kind of really pushing the bounds of Zydeco and Cajun music, bringing in a lot of other influences. And then the headlining act was the wonderful, and if you don't know them, you should, Lost Bayou Ramblers. I've seen them a number of times in New Orleans. This is the first time I got to see them on their home turf. there in Acadiana, and I tell you what, it was something else. But interestingly enough, what also was involved were a lot of these fantabulous musicians that were out there just kind of picking up and jamming. Little groups, people popped up, grabbed some instruments, and started playing together, folks that hadn't played together for a while. And, you know, just kind of grabbed a plate of food, sat next to some interesting people, tasted all kinds of interesting stuff, got to catch a little music, and that's kind of how the whole thing went. People camped, you could stay in a hotel, but it was a very communal thing, and it was a very wonderful activity. The interviews that we have coming up are really fantastic, so I invite you to stay tuned for those. We're going to talk to some people, as I said, the beverage side, the boucherie side, Roddy, the event organizer, a couple other folks, so that's going to be really, really good. Please stay tuned. I hope you do. If you're interested, a lot of pictures and some other things from the event are up on our, will be up on our website shortly, by tomorrow, on Friday at the latest. Some stuff's already on our social media, on Instagram and Facebook at NOLADrinks.com, or just NOLADrinks on social media, and I invite you to connect with us there. You can always go to NOLADrinks.com, iTunes, Google Play Music, or TuneIn Radio, search for NOLA Drinks, and you will be able to find the podcast. So stay tuned for that stuff. I want to mention a couple things coming up. Hey, we are coming into the lovely fall weather, so there's a good chance to get outside. Coming up this weekend, a great wine event, Vino on the Bayou. There you go. And it's going to be a wine event that's presented by Pearl Wine Company. And the event's going to take place right there in the parking lot in front of Pearl, which is at 3700 Orleans Avenue there in the American Can building. You have a chance to taste 100 wines. Now, there's going to be 100 wines available. Please don't drink 100 wines, okay? Even little taste, that's a lot. But the emphasis is going to be on local producers, and there are going to be 100 different wines out there, of which I would recommend you select a smattering that you would like to taste. And that event goes from 2 to 5 this coming Saturday, as I mentioned there, at Pearl Wine Company out front. The cost is $40 a person for the standard tasting and event, live music. There'll be some food out there. If you want to do the VIP thing, you can, for $80 a person, and that's put on by Whitney Bank, or sponsored by them, and features catering by Ralph Brennan's, so that ought to be pretty good. Again, $40 and $80. If you go to pearlwineco.com, you'll see links to tickets and all of that good stuff. The tickets, if you buy them the day of the event, they go on sale at noon. Again, the event is from 2 to 5 p.m. If you do buy them the day of the event, the price will go up just a touch, maybe $10, $15 a ticket. So get them in advance. It's going to be a lot of fun. 2 to 5 p.m., 3700 Orleans Avenue, Vino on the Bayou. And also, friends, we are in the middle of Sherry Week. Yes, we are. And if you listen to the show about 2 weeks ago, and the podcast is available, as I mentioned, NOLADrinks.com and all those other services, roll back to the one 2 weeks ago from today, and we had members of the New Orleans Sherry Mafia, as they call themselves. You can check them out on Facebook. It's under Sherry Fest NOLA is the name of the public group. And we talked a lot about Sherry, and we were talking about Sherry Week, which we are in the midst of. It started just the other day here on the 7th, goes through Sunday the 13th. And there's stuff going on all over the world. So if you're interested in checking out about Sherry Week, go to Sherry, S-H-E-R-R-Y, of course, .wine, W-I-N-E. And you'll see stuff all over the world going on. If you want to know what you can do here for Sherry Week in New Orleans, we got you covered there. Of course, our good friends once again at Pearl Wine Company, good old Leora over there. They're tasting tonight at 5 o'clock. They do their regular 5 to 7 complimentary Thursday evening tasting. And they are going to be featuring a large selection of Sherry that you can taste for free. I have a feeling there'll be some pretty special stuff there. That's going to be a great event. So go out and do that thing. There's the Crescent City Farmers Market going on. Probably be a food truck outside like there usually is. And then as a little extra bonus, a little lanyap for you, at 8 o'clock after the tasting will be a special documentary presentation on Sherry. And apparently it's very, very unique. It's showing, it's a very interesting beverage. It's a wine, folks. We're not talking about Harvey's Bristol Cream or some of these other things, these things that your grandma used to drink, as maybe you want to say. These are wines, folks, and these are very unique wines produced in a very special way and with great tradition. So the documentary is going to talk a little bit about that, the way of life, the terroir, the process of making wine. Again, kicks off this evening at 5 o'clock at Pearl Wine Company, and the documentary is at 8, talking about the traditions of Sherry. You know, speaking of traditions, we were just talking about the excellent show that I have lined up for you today. These next few segments are going to be interviews recorded with folks out there at Runaway Boucherie, and that was put on, as I mentioned, by a group called Runaway Dish. If you go check out runawaydish.org, not only do they put put on Runaway Boucherie every year out there in Acadiana. They also do pop-up dinners. They bring in chefs from different parts of the region. That includes folks from New Orleans. I know our friend Alex Harrell over there at Angeline in the Quarter was out doing one not too long ago. So go check them out. And that's a great way to get involved. Check out one of their pop-up dinners that goes on. And they have all kinds of interviews with chefs on their website, crawfish-inspired poetry, some stuff on food and film, some really interesting things. And, of course, this event, as I mentioned, Runaway Boucherie, that took place this last weekend in Acadiana and Cajun Country in Grand Coteau. And, yeah, we're going to be talking to some folks coming up here pretty quick, event organizers and others. After the break, we're going to be talking. Hey, there were some familiar faces out there, and a couple of them we're going to be talking to. Good buddy Abigail Russo, who is the head bartender over there at Compare La Pan here in New Orleans, joined the show with us, along with Candace Froth, who is with Cathead Vodka and some of the other great stuff that they make. They make a great gin, and their barrel-aged gin is something to check out, by the way. And those two are going to join the show after the break. We've got Isaiah Estelle and Ruby Block from Cavan, Gary Granada from Slow Foods NOLA, Toby Rodriguez, I mentioned, the head of Boucherie from the event, Jeremy Connor, interesting chef from Lafayette, who has now started his own sea salt company, bringing sea salt out of the Gulf, which is actually apparently pretty unique. And then closing out the interview segments, my friend Roddy Romero from Roddy Romero and the Hub City All-Stars, and also involved in putting on Runaway Boucherie. It's going to be a fascinating set of interviews and conversation. Folks, come on back to the NOLA Drinks Show here on WGSO 990 AM New Orleans.
Springtime in New Orleans is beckoning us back on our front porches, favorite patio bars and restaurants. Dickie Brennan's Tableau offers some of the best outdoor dining in the French Quarter. Soak in the beautiful weather on the balcony overlooking Jackson Square or by the whispering fountain in the cozy courtyard. Tableau also offers an amazing happy hour from 2 to 6 p.m. every day of the week, offering half-price beer and wine on tap, $5 classic cocktails, and discounted small plates. For menus, reservations, and more, visit TableauFrenchQuarter.com. Tableau is located at 616 St. Peter Street.
Are you tired of drinking the same wines? Switch it up. Try the Kreutz Family Cellars wine. Kreutz Family Cellars is a small, family-owned winery in Sonoma County that makes wines from some of the most prized vineyards throughout Northern California. Each bottle of Kreutz Family Cellars wines has a magnolia on the label. The magnolia is a symbol of the family's southern roots and their way of life. True, honest, and fun. Look for the magnolia and pick up a bottle of Kreutz Family Cellars wines today.
Hi, New Orleans. It's Laura from Sobu, and I'm here with Chef Juan Carlos.
Sobu's got happier hour. It's 3 to 6 from 3 to 6.
It's bar bars, sips, and snacks, all for $3 to $6 from 3 to 6 p.m. every day.
Laura's got something to please everyone at the bar for happier hour, all for 3 to 6 here at Sobu.
And we know you'll want to try a smoky pulled pork taco or any of the other delicious snacks on our happier hour menu.
Sobu's happier hour, every day from 3 to 6, 310 Charter Street in the Quarter.
Complimentary parking next door at the W Hotel.
All right, everybody, welcome to the NOLA Drink Show here on WGSO 990 AM New Orleans. This is Brian Diaz, sort of from the field. I think we're kind of reporting. I'm not really clear on that. We are here at Runaway Boucherie, put on by Runaway Dish, and a couple familiar faces here from, well, sort of New Orleans and sort of not New Orleans, but somebody I see around New Orleans all the time, Abigail Russo from Compare La Pan. What's that? Gallo. Oh, I'm sorry. God, Abigail Gallo. I apologize. Where did I get Russo from, Abigail? I don't know. All right. And okay, maybe that's a backstory. And Candace Frosch from Cathead Vodka. So nice to see you both. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having us. Yeah, literally in the field.
We are literally in the field, and we are sharing one microphone, Candace.
And there's a truck behind us.
And there's a truck behind us, but it's all good. We are, again, reporting from the field here. So we're here at Runaway Boucherie, as you all know, listening. And Abigail, you're here making drinks for us.
Yes, I've been to the, since the very first Boucherie, I've been coming. And the first one, I just wanted to contribute somehow. And, of course, the way I know how to contribute is by making lots of booze. And I actually made a big punch. And it was so, people were so not used to having somebody make them drinks that I put it in a big container. And people kept trying to wash their hands with it because they thought it was water. I'm like, no. That's like a punch with, like, Black Label Johnny Walker Scotch in it.
Oh, no. With the Black Label.
It's really good.
And we were talking about how we almost didn't recognize you because we usually see you with the flower in the hair and the Betty Boop do and all that. And you've got your Stars and Stripes cowboy hat on. And you're looking a little more country.
Yeah, no, definitely. I grew up with one foot in the city, one foot in the country, so I know how to change and be comfortable, and country living is a lot easier in boots, and you always got to make sure you wear a hat to protect yourself from the sun.
Absolutely no one wants skin cancer. Got sunscreen on. Candace, you're here with Cat Head Vodka. Yeah, no hat. I got one. It'll come on later, maybe. Yeah, so you're here from Cat Head Vodka, and you guys are one of the sponsors of the event.
Yeah, we are. We got connected with Runaway Boucherie. We actually did a boucherie down in Chalmette in St. Bernard, and that's how we met up with these guys. And a couple of them are also bartenders around the city, like Chris McIntyre. And just it's kind of all the people that we want to be around, chefs and bartenders alike. So it's been really cool. It's a cool event. This is the first year we've physically been able to come out. We've been giving product for a couple years now.
And I understand that you camped last night, and it was the first time camping, so you had an air mattress.
Yes. We hooked the pump up to the car, and we blew that thing up, and a couple hardcore people looked at us like we were crazy, and I'm very comfortable with that. Slept through the night like a baby.
That's good. I mean, who's the smart one now, the next day waking up fresh with some coffee and feeling good? So now you all donated some product to the event, right?
Yes, we did. So we have Cathead Vodka. We have, last night we did Cathead Pecan and Cathead Honeysuckle Vodka cocktails. Today we're doing the original vodka, and we have some Hoodoo Chicory Liqueur. It's a barrel-aged chicory liqueur for breakfast.
That's a good thing for breakfast, especially you guys upped the proof on that, didn't you, when you did it the second time?
Yeah. We did a reformulation on that one last August of 15, and we increased the proof from 40 to 66, aged in barrels, bourbon barrels for 4 months instead of 5 weeks, and it's about a half a pound of chicory per gallon now, so it's substantially more strong.
It's a better breakfast. It's much better for breakfast. And Abigail, so you, we were just tasting, you had all kinds of stuff going on over there. So I'm drinking the whiskey watermelon.
Yeah, we had a watermelon, so we just cut it open and we poured some booze inside of it and made it like a little watermelon situation. Something on the fly, you know, something real casual in an environment like this. Speaking of the Hoodoo, we have a new cocktail on the menu at Compare La Pen called the Louisville Slugger that uses the Hoodoo and bourbon and an unaged apple brandy from Louisville, and a smoked vanilla syrup. So I'm always happy to see that here and introduce people to it. So I might whip up some of them Louisville Sluggers later too.
Now I'm looking forward to that because you know I'm a big baseball fan like you, so and I'm liking the Louisville Slugger name. So what are you, and you made, the old fashioned that you made for us a little earlier was great. I needed, because it was about 11 o'clock in the morning, I needed a little dilution from the ice.
Yeah, no, that was a strong one. That's a drink called Bewitched and Bewildered that just has a little bit of Strega and a little bit of Peychaud's Aperitivo and then bourbon, lots of bourbon.
Lots of bourbon. Awesome. So tell us, Candace, you're going to be here through today, and you guys have one more happy hour. Is that tomorrow or is that tonight? And do we know who's doing that one?
Yes, it's Lauren from Turkey and the Wolf, and she's going to be making up a Cathead Honeysuckle cocktail. They do one at the restaurant, and I'm going to say that that's probably what she'll be doing. So if you don't get one out here, go to Turkey and Wolf. They've got a honeysuckle cocktail they're rolling with.
Lauren is the new NOLA Eater Bartender of the Year as well. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we're so psyched to have her. I'm so happy for her to win that. That's great.
That's cool. And she was at 12 Mile Limit before, right? Is that right? Or where was she? She was somewhere, and then they opened up Turkey and the Wolf there, and that's a great spot.
Oh, it's wonderful. I've had a great time. And I love any place with outdoor seating because I can bring my little dog, Ronnie Magic, with me. So she's had lunch with me there. We enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, do you have Ronnie Magic with you here today?
Officially, no, but secretly, yes, she's here.
This is going to air after the event is over, even though there's a no dog policy. You'll be fine. We'll mute this part out of the podcast.
Well, she's not really a dog. She's a human trapped in a dog suit. Okay. So I think it's okay. It's a little different.
Well, Candace, do me a favor. Tell people. So we didn't really touch on this. I think a lot of people know Cathead Vodka and the other stuff that you guys do a beautiful gin, too.
Thank you. Yeah, Bristow Gin. So we're based in Jackson. Every bottle we sell, a dollar goes back to New Orleans Musicians Assistance Foundation. The name's kind of an old blues music reference, so it's kind of a tribute to that. Yeah, we produce Cathead Vodka. We do Cathead Honeysuckle and Cathead Pecan Vodka, both all natural. We source the ingredients from the South, sweetened with Louisiana cane sugar. And then we do Bristow Gin, a very allocated barrel-aged gin, Bristow Reserve, that Abigail does amazing things with. And then Hoodoo, which is the barrel-aged chicory liqueur.
Awesome. I actually picked up when you were tasting last time over there at Martin in Mandeville by us. They had one bottle left, and I grabbed it. And it's great. I love it. I love it. So what are you doing with the barrel-aged gin, Abigail?
We had some beautiful drinks. So we do like Manhattan or a Martinez variation. You know, something that utilizes the beautiful barrel spirit in the gin and kind of brings out the notes of the gin, which are gorgeous, gorgeous. We're big fans. It has so much flavor. It has beautiful aroma. I try to keep it very simple because I like to let the gin shine in that one because it is a really, really special gin. But yeah, we've been mixing it with, playing around with sweet vermouth, dry vermouth, a little maraschino liqueur, different liqueurs. You know, it all goes really, really well. Even sometimes a little sherry mixed in.
No, I'm liking that, and we're, by the time everybody's hearing this, we're in the middle of Sherry Week.
Yeah.
So there you go. I like that a lot. One of the things I really like about the Cathead stuff that you all do, Candace, is that we're talking about the pecan vodka, for example, or the honeysuckle vodka, which is a favorite of mine. People are thinking that flavored stuff, like the Fruit Loop stuff and things like that. That's not what we're talking about here. The flavors are so well integrated, and it's a whole different thing.
Yeah, we don't use a chemical flavoring. Most flavored vodkas get a bad rap. Most of them are chemical flavoring and a bunch of sugar to kind of mask that medicinal flavor that you get with the chemicals. But the honeysuckle is all natural. It's a 1 to 2 week infusion process. And then Louisiana sugarcane. And then pecan is actually really interesting. It's a brown vodka. So we joke that it's our brown spirit. But it is roasted pecans. We get them from Indianola, Mississippi. They sit in the vodka for 2 months. And it's a little bit of cinnamon on the end and Louisiana sugarcane. So they're not, you know, I tell people when you look at the pecan, think of it like you would a brown spirit, a bourbon, a whiskey, a rum, and kind of go that route rather than the, you know, pecan pie, rum chata, martini type deal.
It's not sweet. I mean, it's not overly sweet. So it gives it that nice kind of, as you said, that brown sugar note to a drink, which is really nice. Well, Abigail, do me a favor too. Tell people where they can find you at Compare Le Pen.
Compare Le Pen is located in the Old 77 Hotel on 535 Chapatula Street in the Warehouse District of New Orleans. And you can find the pecan vodka in our new frozen daiquiri that we have called Café du Horchata. It's a house-made horchata, so we make it with pecans, almonds, and rice. So the pecan vodka goes really good, and we have some rum in there, too, and some cold brew coffee. So it's dairy-free but creamy and caffeinated and delicious.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you, Abby, for being here. I appreciate it. Candace, tell people where the distillery is.
Distillery is based in Jackson, Mississippi. It's in downtown. It's kind of fun. You can take the train from New Orleans to Jackson, actually, which most people don't know. And you can drink on the train. But our distillery is in Jackson. Our products locally around New Orleans are going to be in your Dornach's, Martin Wine Cellar, Whole Foods, Rouse. It's kind of all your independent retailers. And Abigail has been a huge supporter of ours since day one, the first day we met. And she's awesome. If you ever need a Cathead cocktail of any sort, please go to Compare Le Pen and
Absolutely.
See her.
Thanks you both for being here. I really appreciate it. Candace Rosher from Cathead Vodka and Abigail Gallo from Compare Le Pen. Folks, coming back to the Noel Drink Show. We'll be right back. Hey, we're at Runaway Boucherie. Cheers.
Hey, New Orleans. Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy. If you're listening to this show, you love good food and good wine. And a great wine with our plentiful fresh Gulf seafood is the Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc. A crisp, balanced white blend from the south of France. Whether it's with fresh oysters, crab, redfish, or shrimp, this Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc will not disappoint. And it's a great value at around $14. Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc. Cheers!
The French Market is a place where history is made fresh daily. From the historic Upper Pontalba building on Jackson Square to the ever-evolving Farmers Market, our six-block district celebrates New Orleans food, music, and culture through events, festivals, walking tours, health and fitness classes, and also children's workshops at the New Orleans Jazz Park. Visit our calendar of events at www.frenchmarket.org. The French Market, making history fun since 1791.
Are you looking for the best buns? Well, we have them at Bayou Burger in the Quarter. Wait till you bite into one of our acclaimed burgers like the Cowboy Burger, Tiebreaker Shrimp Burger, the world-famous Gator Burger, or you can build your own with endless combinations. It's all fresh meat, never ever frozen. Everywhere you look, there's big screen TVs where you'll never miss a minute of the action. Boasting the largest balcony dining in the French Quarter, you can watch all the action pass you by on the street. Find the best burgers in action at Bayou Burger. 501 Bourbon at St. Louis for the best buns on bourbon. It's Bayou Burger, baby.
Hello, this is Ron Bartholomew, and to my great city of New Orleans, I'd like to introduce to you Touch Vodka. This artisan handcrafted ultra-premium vodka is uniquely distilled from Florida's finest wildflower honey and American grain. Touch also produces key lime, Valencia orange, and ruby red grapefruit selections that are infused with natural oils of locally sourced fruit, which results in a unique 80-proof vodka with no sugar added or coloring. Touch is now available at Doranac's, Cello's, and the Corporation Grill and Bar, and many other locations across Louisiana. This holiday season, sit back and relax and enjoy Touch Vodka.
Did you know that there's a vineyard and winery making quality table wines just 1 hour north of New Orleans? At Pontchartrain Vineyards, we produce award-winning wines from our 15-acre vineyard, as well as premium wine grapes sourced from the West Coast. Try our light, crisp, Louisiana-grown Blanc du Bois, or have a glass of Chardonnay, Zinfandel, or our Cab Syrah blend made right here in Louisiana. There's something for everyone at Pontchartrain Vineyards. For more information, go to PontchartrainVineyards.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Richards with Sazerac Rye Whiskey. It's football and festival season, and there's no better way to enjoy Sazerac Rye than in a pothole cocktail. Just fill up a glass with ice and your favorite root beer, and add 2 ounces of Sazerac Rye for a truly tasty toddy. Named after the city's most iconic of inconveniences, the pothole is proof that New Orleans never takes itself too seriously. Sazerac Rye Whiskey, the way New Orleans does whiskey.
This is Christopher Icaza, General Manager of Broussard's Restaurant, 819 Conti Street in the beautiful Vaucaray. We encourage you to come join us this fall and experience the renovation of one of the French Quarter's Grand Dames. Join us in our beautifully renovated Napoleon Dining Room. Come see our friend Paul Gustings at the beautiful Empire Bar. Experience one of the French Quarter's loveliest courtyards. That's Broussard's Restaurant, 819 Conti Street. Open 7 nights a week and every Sunday for brunch.
Are you looking for a great place to enjoy great handcrafted and vintage cocktails? Victory is located at 339 Barone Street in the heart of downtown New Orleans. We have a variety of spirits, a talented team of bartenders, and great gourmet small plates. Our mission? To preserve an era when cocktails were made with artistry and pride. Grab your friends and come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. Give us a call to book your next private event or go to our website, victorynola.com. See you soon. Cheers.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the NOLA Drink Show here on WGSO 990 AM. And I am pleased to be joined by two good familiar faces again here on the show from New Orleans, Isaiah Estelle from Cabin Restaurant, and Ruby Block, the pastry chef for the larger group that also contains Cabin Restaurant LeBlanc Smith. Welcome.
Happy to be here, man. How's it going?
It's going great, Isaiah. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Well, I'm getting there.
You're getting there. Yeah. You just got here.
A little bit ago, I had to fight with some tent malfunctions, but we're sorted out. And
ride malfunctions.
Yes, several of those, actually. Yeah, I was desperate. But by the grace of God, I have found my way here, and I'm very happy to be taking part in this boucherie for the first time.
Awesome. Day two here at Runaway Boucherie, where we are. Of course, out here in the field just north of Lafayette. Ruby, how are you?
Hey, I'm great.
Awesome. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
When did you get here?
About a couple hours ago now.
Okay, cool. So yeah. You just got here, too.
I did just get here.
And you're camping as well?
I am camping. It took me about 30 minutes to set up my tent, but I think I did it properly.
Wisely pitched on the far side from where the rest of us clowns have set up camp.
Now, where are you camping?
Right over yonder, so, on
kinda
the far side
the
of the teepee.
End, yeah.
Exactly, okay. Yeah. I found our friend Mike and some other acquaintances who had made their way out here last night, who I think are going in for the long haul, found their little encampment and
now, is this
set
your,
up next
is this
to them.
Your first year out here?
It is, yeah. I tried to come last year and couldn't make it work, so
okay.
I was really pretty dead set on it. Ruby here is the one who kindly reminded me of it happening and...
Yeah, and Ruby, now you, have you been here before?
This is my first time as well. Yeah,
okay,
I've
cool.
known about it just from people who I'm friends with going and seeing their pictures, and I knew I wanted to make it happen this year for sure.
Awesome! It's a super great event. We've been talking about it during the show, so people know kind of what it's about. What prompted you to come out here just in general, just to see what kind of happens? And
yeah, and I did the Chefs to Watch with Ashley Roussel, who's like, you know, one of the main people running the whole thing. And that's when I was like, okay, this year I definitely want to make an effort to come out, because I got to know a little bit more about it before I came. And yeah, I'm just excited to be here, see what's going on.
Yeah, so what have we been eating and drinking there, Isaiah, so far?
Eating, we missed lunch, you know, I think where there was a barbecue sort of.
Yeah, they did
affair.
A couple Carolina hogs in the smoker.
Yeah, sadly, I think came in on the tail end of that. So far, I'm, you know, a bag of Doritos and some beef jerky. So I'm really looking forward to get into the real deal. You
as
know?
Opposed to, yeah, the, so the real boucherie as opposed yeah. to the jerky.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the guys from the restaurant boucherie, James and Nathaniel, are on their way out here and are going to be part of the dinner time festivities, as far as I'm aware, with our good buddy Mike Knisley, you know, who together run the Bibliotech pop-up out there. So Mike has come amply fortified with cases of champagne, and
yeah,
I'm sure it'll be worth waiting for. So even if breakfast comes at 7 o'clock, I think it'll
be good. We'll be talking to Michael a little bit later on in the weekend.
Oh, good.
For sure. So yeah, that's great. So Ruby.
Yeah.
You're the pastry chef there for the LeBlanc Smith Restaurant Group.
Yes, sir.
And did you bring any pastries with you? That was not what I was really going to ask you, but no.
I didn't bring any pastries, just two open bottles of red wine.
That'll work.
But it's, you know, giving me some inspiration. I might take some hay back and use that. I wanted to put a hay dessert on last year and couldn't make it happen, so maybe.
I mean, how would we do that? How would we do a hay dessert?
I mean, you can like, grill it and then, like, infuse it into cream or syrup. Exactly, you could do it in for a cocktail too.
Oh, what? But
I haven't done it yet. I just always wanted to. For
come with an allergy warning, I guess. Right? Might be fairly.
Hay fever.
Yeah.
Yeah, hay fever. Exactly.
That, the name for the drink.
Please let's not call it that.
Okay, there we go. So
are we really going to call it hay fever? I mean, that would,
good.
That's a little too obvious. Not.
We'll have to brainstorm that a little bit. But next year, I wanted to kind of scope it out this year. Maybe next year I can get some pastry situations. Use some of that bacon fat or something. Pig fat.
Yeah, that'll go good. I mean, any bacon fat and hay will work great.
Yeah.
Like I can tell that much.
Call it a boucherie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, we're recording a radio show. It's all good. It doesn't matter.
hear the crowd.
Yeah, well, and so what did you bring to drink?
What did I bring to drink? Yeah. I was running on fumes this morning, so I didn't have ample time to figure this out, but I snagged a couple decent bottles out of the fridge and some whiskey I've been hoarding for a while. You know, I did whiskey camp a couple years ago, which, you know, allowed me to stop, you know, do a little shopping around the bourbon trail. So brought some Heaven Hill products, an old bottle of Ancient Age as well, which hopefully hasn't been stolen by our neighbors yet, because I just remembered that I left it sitting out next to the tent. So hopefully it's there.
I think you're pretty good. This is one of those events that's on the honor system.
Yeah,
there,
and I think feel pretty good about the...
Yeah. This doesn't devolve into something where somebody's going to steal your whiskey. At least not at this. It's still too early. It's about, 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah. Here. I'm going to try to save that for at least until the Lost Bayou Ramblers take the stage a little bit later. I've never seen them on their home turf, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
In Lafayette or elsewhere. So I'm really looking forward to that.
So, Ruby, speaking of the Lost Bayou Ramblers, are you a fan?
I am a fan, but I don't get to see them live very often. I don't generally get to see a lot of bands live very often, but yeah, I'm excited to see them.
It should be good. I think there's a
perfect setting for it.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, they were actually, some of the guys were already playing around in circles. So
great.
Roddy Romero is one of the organizers here of the event that we'll talk to also, who's Grammy nominated from Roddy Romero and the Hub City All-Stars. They just kind of popped up under the tent over there, a couple fiddles, stand-up bass, guitar, and a squeeze box.
Oh.
And just started knocking out a couple tunes.
That must have been what was happening when I got here.
Yeah.
That was right, probably when you got here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they weren't amateurs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I could tell they weren't amateurs. They were playing when we walked, you know, when I was coming in. Should have stuck around and listened a little closer.
it'll keep popping up and people are wandering around. This has made me decide to leave my guitar in the car.
I don't know. You never know.
Awesome. Well, so you guys are going to be here, Ruby. You're going to stay tonight. You're going to camp and you stay all day tomorrow as well?
Yeah. I'm not sure what time we're going to head back, but probably stay through most of the day tomorrow and then head back in the evening. That's kind of what I'm planning, but...
Good time for me to ask, but can I get a ride? Perfect.
Yeah, especially getting right out.
Spot, right? Like, you know, like,
of course you can have a ride. Yes. We'll go back to Kevin, have dinner.
I'll get the daiquiris on the ride home.
Yeah, there's plenty of that to choose from all the way between here and New Orleans.
Clearly won't drink until we get back to New Orleans, but you know.
Right.
They're just stronger out here, so.
Yeah, I appreciated your text, Isaiah, this morning, where I texted you yesterday saying, let me know if you're coming out here. And then you said, F, I missed my ride. So I didn't expect to see you until I ran into Ruby, and then there you were. So you recovered nicely.
Yeah, I panicked, and like I said, you know, I sent a broad array of messages and, you know, managed to make it happen. So.
Nice.
Very happy to be here.
So what's it going to take to bring Isaiah home, Ruby, besides a daiquiri?
I mean, maybe some of that good whiskey.
Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah, that Taco Bell. Yeah.
Taco Bell, that's going to sweeten the deal. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think so. I think I could make it work.
Well, cool. Ruby, do me a favor. Tell people, so you are the pastry chef for the restaurant group, as we mentioned. But and the kitchen is actually at Cabin, right?
That's the place that I actually have a pastry kitchen. Okay. We do make the desserts for each of the restaurants at each respective restaurant.
Okay.
There's just a little bit more space to do it when we're at Cabin. And so a lot of times for special events or anything that I'm cooking for an offsite, I'll prep it at Cabin. But for Mobar, you know, we have a little space there, and it's awesome. We get to do some really cool desserts, and I just make it work.
Cool.
I bounce around a lot.
Very cool. So there's Cabin, which is, 3607?
Magazine
Street.
Yeah.
And then Mobar.
Mobar is on Rampart Street, Rampart and St. Philip.
Yep.
And then Sylvain is on Charters right by the cathedral.
600 block, 625.
625, okay. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, and then Isaiah, you're at Cabin. You're the beverage director there at Cabin.
Indeed, yeah.
So we just covered that. We can see you there on a regular basis.
Almost all the time, yeah.
Almost all the time.
Definitely, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights. So I've spent a little bit more time behind the bar now. So, yeah, please, you know, come by.
Awesome.
I'm ready to make some drinks.
Isaiah Estelle, Ruby Block, thanks for being here. I really appreciate it today. Hey, thanks. We'll have fun. Let's have some boucherie.
Cheers.
All right, folks, coming back to the NOLA Drink Show. We'll be back with more from Runaway Boucherie.
Oregon wines are taking over New Orleans. The reason? They're delicious. Next time you're shopping for wine, grab a bottle of Sass Wine. Located in the South Salem Hills of Oregon's Willamette Valley, Sass Wine produces small amounts of handcrafted, high-quality wines that include Pinot Noir, Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris, Chardonnay, Riesling, Sauvignon Blanc, and Rosé of Syrah. A perfect balance of full fruit with fine, supple tannins and firm acidity is what makes truly great wines, and you'll find that in every bottle of Sass Wine you drink.
The Black Duck Bar is now open on the second floor of Dickie Brennan's Palace Cafe. Named in honor of the famous Black Duck Rum Runner, the bar features an extensive rum collection. Also noted for its small plates and charcuterie, the Black Duck Bar is sure to please. Join us for happy hour 4 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and try half-price draft beer, wine on tap, or a small plate. Stop by Palace Cafe at 605 Canal Street and try a delicious rum cocktail at the new Black Duck Bar.
Hi, this is Jeff Craner with the award-winning Nottingham Cellars, located in Livermore Valley, California's oldest wine-growing region. Producers of fine wines. Try our clean, crisp 1846 Chardonnay, an ideal pairing with New Orleans seafood, or our bold, rich Petite Syrah, excellent with steak, to our flagship Bordeaux-style blend, Supremacy. You can find our wines in finer restaurants throughout New Orleans. Hope you enjoy our wines.
All right, everybody, welcome to the NOLA Drink Show here on WTSO 990 AM New Orleans. Brian Diaz here with you today, the third and final day of Runaway Boucherie, and I'm pleased to be joined by Well, another neighbor in New Orleans, Gary Granada from Slow Food. How you doing, man?
Greetings, greetings. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Having a good time out here?
Yes, as always.
It's a little wet today, but not too bad.
This wet stuff falling from the sky is a blessing. We need this stuff.
Absolutely.
It's been a stranger these days.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it makes the food lines a little shorter.
Yeah.
So,
<that
part's> good. So now, have you been out to, have you been here? This is the third
This is my
year,
second. Yeah, this is my second year. Yeah.
Okay, great. And you had some involvement. I know you were making some food.
Made some food yesterday. This is more hanging out and enjoying. Yeah.
Get out of the big city.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The small big city. Yeah. Cool, man. Well, tell us a little bit. I know you've been on the radio with Tim McNally before on his show, but tell us a little bit about Slow Food, man.
Well, Slow Food is a international nonprofit that started in Italy in the 80s. The mission of good, clean, and fair basically comes down to that everyone has a right to food that's first delicious food that comes from your local culture. That's a right everybody has. Mm-hmm. And you have a right to food that's clean, meaning it's healthy for you to eat, that's produced in a manner that doesn't harm the environment and treats animals ethically, and fair, that you can have this good and clean food at a fair market value, and more importantly, the people that work in the food industry make a fair wage.
Right.
And it's an overarching mission that kind of goes in many directions.
And it certainly ties into this event.
Oh, definitely, definitely, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how did you get involved with Slow Food personally, Gary?
Well, I guess I realize I've been kind of doing it my entire life. My background through academia in food and nutrition, health and wellness, exercise science. But even before then, growing up in Alabama, son of a mother who was an Iowa farmer in the Depression, always had a garden, always cooked what came out of the garden. Since I was like 5 or 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And as food changed, I kept doing that just because it was fun and delicious.
Got it.
Yeah. And then going into the academic study of nutrition, nutrition became the science separated from food. And Slow Food kind of was a 180 going, or actually a 360 going back to my childhood of it really is about taste. You can't separate taste. I mean, taste is what tells all animals, eat this, don't eat that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have divorced nutrition from food, you know, taste from food through industrialization and, you know, so that a few people can make all the money.
Right.
Yeah. And now commoditization of food, that we take food from this region and ship it over to another region and take food from that region and bring it to this region. Nobody has their own food. And it all... has no taste.
Right.
I mean, in the 60s and 70s, when we started coming out with all this prepackaged stuff, it was like, no, that's not half bad. Half bad's not good.
No, half bad is not right.
And the fact that, you know, what I've been doing through 30 years of my academic and professional career came back to taste. And taste is where you can engage people, especially now in this country. They come to something like this event and taste what food really is, and it's life-changing.
Right.
It's like, what's that? Okay, I didn't know food actually tasted that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And this type of an event, as you said, gives people an opportunity to taste something fresh, taste something honest, and actually see, for example, some of the butchering and stuff that we witnessed here, see the process and actually connects you, I think.
And then see all this, connect it, and then you eat this food, even though it's a festival of gluttony, you don't feel bad. You eat food that makes you feel good. Whereas in most of the country, you eat food with no flavor that makes you feel bad.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Well, Gary, do me a favor. Tell us a little bit about anything coming up with Slow Food. And we'll talk a little bit about how the organization works, how people can get involved, for example.
Well, it is a global volunteer-based network. And right now, we're going through a bit of a transition. I'm kind of moving up the leadership ladder, but we just got back from Italy where we had a 25-person Louisiana-Vietnam delegation, and those people that went had their pilgrimage experience of going to the international gathering in Italy, which allows me to step back from that leadership role. So in doing that, anybody that's interested in getting involved, pay attention to what's coming up in the next few weeks is International Teta Madre Day. It's December 10th.
Okay.
And we're going to do a potluck dinner at a site to be determined. And the people that went to Italy will talk about their experiences and now have these voices step up to be the local leadership as I move on up to being more of the regional coordinator.
So how many... What region would we be a part of then in New Orleans?
Well, right now it's my present title is Governor of Louisiana, but I propose we go to more regional because I mean we only have three chapters in Louisiana. There's one getting started in Mississippi, one getting started in Alabama, and I split my time between Louisiana and Alabama. So I'm working towards being more Gulf states.
Okay.
You know, so we really have a good southern presence.
Where are the other two, Gary, in Louisiana?
In Baton Rouge and Shreveport.
Okay.
And if we were looking regionally, you know, Shreveport's really more Texas, whereas Pensacola, while they're in Florida, they're really more us.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because Florida has eight chapters, seven on the panhandle and seven on the peninsula and one on the panhandle.
Okay.
So when you lump them all together, Pensacola in with Orlando doesn't really make any sense.
Right.
Because they're two totally different regions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's one thing that, as, you know, with a volunteer-based, you know, organization, we're constantly, you know, seeing how best we can achieve this mission. Because the whole goal is to support and promote our local foodways.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a constant, you know, rethink as long as the mission guides you, what's the best way to practice that mission.
Right.
So, and that's where we are right now. We're building that critical mass.
Now, Gary, what would some of the volunteer opportunities be for individuals out there that want to get involved?
Well, right now, as the new leadership comes aboard and they start formulating that vision based on their experiences, but more formalizing what the chapter is and the governance, getting more people involved. There's a lot of projects within Slow Food that we could take advantage of, such as a program that many people played with called the Snail of Approval. I mean, using the Slow Food mission. In other cities, it's been to certify restaurants, which, again, kind of harkens back to when you talk to food producers, and they're completely right, that this whole farm-to-table movement has been more about the table and not the farm or the fisher.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I would like to see is that rather than certifying restaurants, which you can never fully do, because, I mean, a restaurant these days at some point has to go to Restaurant Depot. You just can't get away from it.
Right.
In the way
right.
the market is set up.
Right.
But if we start making that certification for the farmer, for the fisher that are doing it right, then all restaurants can participate in it if they start sourcing from these snail of approval providers. So that's more of the network, you know, I want to step back and see work, you know, rather than starting at the top, truly start at the bottom. Because we do have a lot of fabulous producers that are doing it right. And unfortunately, in order to do it right, you have to have another job to support your growing or fishing or farming habit.
Right.
Because the marketplace does not provide you access to get the value. But with that international symbol of the sale, if that's a snail, if that's attached to your product... And then if a restaurant uses that, they can put that snail on that menu. Now, I mean, they have this in Italy, you know, that it's like it's very recognizable. People know about Slow Food, you know, and so if you go to this restaurant that's an osteria, that means that's a family-owned restaurant. It's not a chain. And then you go in there, and their Slow Food, what they would call Presidio ingredients, they mark with a symbol. So it makes it very simple to go in and say, you're going to a family restaurant, and you know this family restaurant sources from local farmers. So to get more of that going here, so it demystifies it and gets away from, you know, eating this way is more expensive. No, actually it's not.
No, that's right.
And also you're putting the money, taking one pocket and putting the other, because when you support a local farmer, you're supporting yourself.
And you're supporting the local economy, which
is... Yeah, you're not exactly. You're not taking that money and having it go to a corporate headquarters somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Gary, we got just a few seconds here.
Cool.
Tell people where they can... connect online with you.
Slowfoodneworleans.com. Check us on social media, on Facebook and Twitter. And Teta Madre Day internationally is December 10th, which is a Sunday, and we're going to have a potluck, probably at Cafe Carmo, but that's not been set. Is it a Carmo or SoFab?
We'll talk to Dana about
that. It's either SoFab or Carmo. That decision has been made, and it's just going to be a conversation with everybody that went to Italy and see where we go next.
That sounds like fun. Keep me posted on that. We'll talk about it again on the show when we get a little closer to the mark.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Gary. I appreciate it. Folks, all Gary right. Granada from Slow Food NOLA. Thanks for taking time out today, man. Enjoy the last day of Runaway Boucherie here.
Will do.
Cheers. Folks, we'll be right back here on the NOLA Drink Show. Come on back.
Hey, New Orleans. Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy. Want a great alternative to Over Oak Chardonnay? Try Yamhill Valley Vineyards Pinot Blanc, a wonderfully balanced white wine from the oldest family estate in McMinnville, Oregon, in the Willamette Valley. It's round and ripe like a Chardonnay, but without the heavy oak and sweetness of big commercial corporate Chardonnays. Yamhill Valley Vineyard Pinot Blanc, a great value under $20. Ask for it wherever you buy wine. Cheers.
Looking to shake things up or find the bartender in you? We mean literally. At the New Orleans Drink Lab, you'll do just that. We teach you the history and tradition of classic New Orleans cocktails. Then you get behind the bar and make them. Master classes are fun, interactive, and hands-on. Great for small groups and team building. Come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. You mix, muddle, and master the art of cocktail making. Visit us at 343 Barone Street. Or go to our website, drinklab.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Craner with the award-winning Nottingham Cellars, located in Livermore Valley, California's oldest wine-growing region, producers of fine wines. Try our clean, crisp 1846 Chardonnay, an ideal pairing with New Orleans seafood, or our bold, rich Petit Sirah, excellent with steak, to our flagship Bordeaux-style blend, Supremacy. You can find our wines in finer restaurants throughout New Orleans. Hope you enjoy our wines.
With the season's beautiful weather, it's a perfect time to take a drive across Lake Pontchartrain and visit New Orleans' only local vineyard and winery, Pontchartrain Vineyards. Our tasting room is open Wednesday through Sunday from noon till 4, or by appointment. Come enjoy a flight of our wines in our classically styled French Provençal tasting room, or pack a picnic lunch and enjoy a bottle of wine on our patio overlooking the vineyard. While you're there, ask about our wine club. For more information, go to PontchartrainVineyards.com.
Night before last, I got loaded on a bottle of whiskey, on a bottle of whiskey. Night before last, I got loaded on a bottle of whiskey, on a bottle of whiskey.
Tim McNally, welcome to the Dine, Wine, and Spirits Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the NOLA Drinks Show. I'm Brian Diaz here with you, and we are enjoying our final day, as you know, at Runaway Boucherie, and I'm pleased to be joined by one of the gentlemen behind the event here today, Toby Rodriguez. Toby, how are you?
I'm good. A little bit tired, but we're holding it together.
Awesome, man. Thank you for, so this is your place that we're enjoying this great event at.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for hosting, man.
Oh, no problem. It's my pleasure.
So this is a beautiful space. We'll have some pictures up a little bit later on our Facebook page and website and all that. But how long have you lived out here, man?
I actually recently moved out here a few months ago. But I've had some friends that have lived on the property that actually owned the property that hosted us in the past, and the event went so well, and I had such a good time out here, I figured I should just move on the property.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. Convenient.
Yeah.
So now, have you been involved? This is the third year of the event. Have you been involved since the beginning?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. Tell us a little bit about the organization and the event, sort of how it came to be and how you all got together.
Well, I've been doing what I do, which is teaching traditional boucheries, I guess, for about 8 years now. And about 4 years ago, I met Katie and Denny Culbert, who have Runaway Dish, which is a nonprofit pop-up, dinner group that puts on local pop-ups. They pair two chefs together and have a meal, and the proceeds of the meal, the ticket sales go to a local nonprofit.
Great.
And pairing up with them, them seeing what I was doing, meeting with them, and them having like a really connection to the culinary community. They pretty much introduced me to every local chef that I know now in Lafayette and in New Orleans, and that kind of changed the game of things. You know, like the boucheries took on a different form. It became more about instead of just preserving tradition, we were preserving foodways. You know, we were. Okay. I feel like you know, consciously delving a bit deeper into what the boucherie is and like why it's necessary and how it's relevant today, and that I guess that that relation developed into this weekend, which is Runaway Boucherie.
Can you do me a favor, Toby, actually, for listeners, especially a lot of people that aren't from the area, can you define or explain the term boucherie?
Boucherie is a French word that means butchering. In South Louisiana, in Acadiana, the Cajuns normally associate a boucherie with the killing of a pig. Traditionally, you know, like multiple family members or multiple families or neighbors and friends came together for a butchering. A farmer had a pig and called all his friends and family and his neighbors to come over and give him a hand. And, of course, that harvest turns into a party, and everyone eats and goes home with like a little bit of the meat that was processed there, and everyone gets a little bit. I feel like it's Acadiana, South Louisiana has you know, like in a lot of ways, like we are normally seen as being last on the list when it's something good, and first on the list when it's something bad. But as far as like, you know, progressive, like what people would refer to as like eating progressively, you know, whether it's farm to table or eating organically, like we like never really had a farm to table movement because we never really lost it. So this is like this is one sense where we're actually kind of ahead of the ball game here. You know, like the boucherie is a perfect example of that. Like, it's not something, we're like one of the only cultures that hasn't lost its butchering tradition. Like, we still, like here in America, we still have a tradition of butchering, where within most cultures in this country, that tradition has been lost because of industrialization.
Mm-hmm.
So
how did you personally, is a family trade, or
my father farmed sugar cane as a kid, and we had, you know, we grew up on a farm, we had animals, and because we birthed and raised those animals, we felt it only natural to also slaughter and process them too. So I grew up on a farm that butchered its own animals and held those traditions.
And that's really important. I think one of the things that that you've demonstrated here this weekend that was really fascinating to watch were the butchering demonstrations and slaughter that you put on. And as we were talking earlier with Gary, it connects us to the meal, I think, in a way that's very important that people need to really understand and see.
You know, there's a lot of talk about what's missing in our diets. It's always some nutrient or like something that's, you know, at one point was good and now is demonized. But the thing that like no one's really talking about, like what's truly missing in our diets in this country, is emotion. Without emotion, there's no grief, there's no remorse, there's no regret, there's no respect. You know, like it's hard to for us to be sustainable in our diets and not waste without knowing the source.
Right.
Like, people need to be connected to their food source. Like, a community should have an emotional connection to their food source, because, you know, it makes it a whole lot more difficult to pull in that drive-through.
Absolutely. Meat doesn't come in a styrofoam tin wrapped in plastic.
Exactly.
Tray.
Exactly.
Well, and I noticed, Toby, when with some of the slaughter demonstrations, I think, as you're saying, it was a very solemn and very dignified process. I found it to be very solemn, actually, and people stood there quietly and reverentially, I think, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. We live in a society that's a bit desensitized. You know, we don't, it's, everything has to feel good, you know, and if it doesn't feel good, then there's an app for that, you know, or, you know, I think that, like, you know, in seeing a butchering and seeing a slaughtering, seeing the harvest, the kill of the animal, it's a complete necessity. Like, I feel like that's something that should be seen by anyone who consumes meat. You know, it truly connects you to the source. I mean, it's not something that, like, I enjoy doing. It's not something that I wake up in the morning and want to do. But it's not all, you know, I mean, it's a responsibility. It's not about, like, it's not always about, like, what you want to do what you're going to enjoy, what's going to bring you pleasure. It's about our responsibility. And to think that, like, our species is designed with all the tools to feed ourselves, that we're meant to kill, to harvest animals. Like, we've got canines, you know, it's undeniable. Like, it's part of our physical design, and that most human beings have no idea how to do that.
And what it
how
means,
to how yeah. to like how to truly feed themselves, how to harvest their own food,
right?
Whether you're a vegetarian or a meat lover.
That's right. Now, Toby, you also have a butcher shop in town, don't you?
I am the manager of the Fresh Market near Crawfish Town, USA, in Henderson, Louisiana.
In Henderson. Okay, yeah. Great. Excellent. And so can you tell people how to connect with this event, or is it Runaway Dish? Is that the best place to go about it?
I can't do that because it's invite only.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe more support. Kind of what I'm getting at is not necessarily plan to come to the event because it is invite only, but to support the organization and the movement.
You know, I would say the best way to support this organization or the movement or like our mission is to please purchase food from your local farmer. That's number one.
That's the best.
Like
thing,
to support what we're doing, like, you know, think twice about going to the big chain store. Think twice about like buying boxed meat at your local supermarket. Try to find the local food. Try to like connect directly with your farmer. That's the best way.
That's great, Toby. I appreciate that. Toby, thanks so much for taking time, man.
No problem.
Thanks so much for hosting this wonderful event. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, man.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Folks, thank you. Toby Rodriguez out here at Runaway Boucherie, and it's been a great weekend. Really appreciate it. Come on back to the show. This is Brian Diaz here with you on the NOLA Drink Show, WGSO 990 AM here in New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Dickie Brennan, and I'd like to invite you to our new Black Duck Bar located on the second floor of Palace Cafe. Rum is the chosen spirit of Palace Cafe's Black Duck Bar and features an extensive rum collection from all over the world. Be sure to join us for happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m., with half-price small plates, local draft beer, and tap wine. Look forward to seeing you soon at Palace Cafe's new Black Duck Bar.
Hey, ladies. Are you looking for wine to bring to your next girls' night out? Grab a bottle of Capitello wines and enjoy the taste of fruit from Oregon's Willamette Valley. Capitello has a wide variety of wines to choose from. Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Noir, dessert wine, and a Brut Sparkling that's a blend of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. He'll even stop by next time he's in town. So grab the girls, have fun, and enjoy Capitello wine. Cheers.
Are you looking for a great place to enjoy great handcrafted and vintage cocktails? Victory is located at 339 Barone Street in the heart of downtown New Orleans. We have a variety of spirits, a talented team of bartenders, and great gourmet small plates. Our mission? To preserve an era when cocktails were made with artistry and pride. Grab your friends and come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. Give us a call to book your next private event or go to our website, victorynola.com. See you soon. Cheers.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the NOLA Drink Show. Brian Diaz here with you. Happy to be talking to you today. We are at, of course, as you know, the Runaway Boucherie event here. And I guess technically we're in Grand Coteau. Is that right?
Coteau, yeah.
And I'm chatting with Jeremy Connor. Thanks for being here, Jeremy.
Oh, of course. My pleasure.
Absolutely, man. Thanks. So tell us a little bit about your chef.
I am.
And where do you work?
Well, I've been a chef. I've been working in the food service business in the back of the house for about 22 years now. And I currently do not work at a restaurant, but that wasn't that was a somewhat recent development. I stopped working in the last restaurant I was at last summer, so a little over a year ago.
Okay.
And I left that restaurant, and now my wife and I have a sea salt company.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, yeah. Cool. Okay. Yeah.
We make sea salt from the Gulf of Mexico here in Lafayette, and we source our water from Pensacola, and we make a really nice finishing salt.
Hey, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. And what got you involved in the sea salt trade?
Well, I had as a chef, I'd been playing around with all different kinds of salt from all over the world for a long time, and I'm from Pensacola originally, and I had collected some seawater when I was there, and I was playing around with it in the kitchen for brining and poaching and things like that, sort of reinforcing the flavors in some of the seafood I was using. And for a dinner, another one of the chefs that's here, actually, Ashley Roussel, she and I just threw some of that water in a dehydrator and dehydrated it, and we liked the results. And so from that point, my wife Alexis and I sort of ran a lot of trials and fine-tuned the process to give us the result we were looking for.
That's great. So how's it going so far for you guys?
It's going very well. It seems like every day someone new from somewhere has heard about us and contacts us, and it's hard to keep up with demand right now, so that's a good sign.
That's a good problem to have, yep. Jeremy, yeah. So we're here at Runaway Boucherie, obviously, and so is this the first time you've been to this event, or have you been to all three?
I've been to all three, yeah.
Okay, great. It's such a lovely event. I noticed yesterday that you were assisting with some of the cow butchering.
That's right. Yep. So Toby and I butchered the cow yesterday, and it's actually the first cow that I've butchered. I've of course handled all manner of cuts of meat before, but this is the first whole cattle that I've ever worked with.
Oh, so, and how was the experience?
Oh, it was great. It was obviously I've done a lot of reading about the subject, and having handled the whole primal and subprimal cuts before, I knew what part of the animal they came from, but actually doing the butchering and removing them from the carcass itself was a new experience, and it was really awesome.
It's neat. It was really fascinating to watch what y'all were doing. Mm-hmm. And I was noticing too that you guys did some interesting cuts. I was like watching some of the neck cuts actually.
Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit about some of that stuff that was kind of different than maybe what people are used to?
Absolutely. So in the boucherie environment, total utilization is the name of the game. You want to use absolutely everything and discard as little as possible, and so instead of trying to do, what would be traditional barbacoa with the head, we just removed the head, skinned it, and then removed all the meat from the head and rolled it. Essentially what you would do like with a tête de cochon or tête de veau with a younger cow animal, we did the same with, this 18-month steer, and you're going in for a long braise on that type of cut, and so we trussed it, seared it, and started it as soon as we could.
That's okay, cool. That's really interesting.
Yeah,
it was fun, and obviously we enjoyed some of the fruits of your labor later on.
Good, I'm very glad you enjoyed it.
So did you do some cooking while you were here, man?
While I was here yesterday?
Yeah, just at the event in general.
I was cooking all day yesterday. I put in about 18 hours yesterday, and that was from sharpening my knives before the sun came up to cleaning up after the buffet line of the cow. So
right. So Jeremy, what got you into to being a chef? Did you grow up in a culinary tradition?
No, not really. I did grow up in the South. I was born in Opelika, Alabama. My parents lived in Auburn, and we moved to Pensacola, Florida shortly thereafter that. And a lot of families still in eastern central Alabama. So a lot of those southern cooking traditions are still there in the family. But, I was the first chef in the family, so to speak, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
So, since then, however, my brother, who's a little bit younger than I am, he became a chef also. So the two kids in the family both became chefs. And so that's really interesting. And then when I left Pensacola to move to Louisiana, my younger brother took my job as sous chef of the restaurant I was at.
So okay.
It was a pleasure to hand that off to him.
That's great. Yeah. And is he still doing that now?
He is. He's still there.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, let's jump back to the sea salt business. So maybe give us an idea of with sea salt coming from the Gulf, mm-hmm. versus, say, other situations. How would that vary, or how would it be different or unique
Well, you know, sea salts are made all over the world. Anywhere there's salt in the water, you can remove the water, so to speak, and end up with salt. What we wondered was why we were, you know, we were using specialty salts and finishing salts from all over the world, and we were wondering why there were none of those things on the market from our back door. You know, the restaurant I was at was making extreme efforts. I put 30,000 miles on my truck in 1 year, driving all over South Louisiana looking for farms to find local ingredients. Meanwhile, I'm importing salt from around the world. You know?
Right.
And so that sort of seed had been planted long ago. And what really sort of pushed that over the decision-making edge, so to speak, to actually start doing that was sort of the epiphany of how to make the flake-shaped crystal salt that we had always been a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of stumbled upon it in a paper that I was reading, a scientific paper from another salt maker in New Zealand, and sort of had the epiphany of, I can figure out how to do that now. And so we started doing that, and the textural results and the flavor effects on the tongue because of the large surface area and the sort of crumbly flakes are extremely rewarding when it's used as a finishing salt on top of food. And so we were hooked at that point. We wanted to keep doing it.
So now, and that's what you're going for specifically then, is as a finishing salt.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
I mean, we find that regardless of crystal shape, that the salts that we're harvesting, so to speak, have an excellent flavor. They're very clean in salinity. They don't, our process removes a lot of the other minerals that are present in the seawater, so we don't have any sort of bitter aftertaste or anything like that. And so regardless of crystal shape, the flavor of the salt really enhances food, especially food with simple flavors, like you would find along the Gulf Coast.
Mm-hmm.
But the flake crystal shape, that really sort of broad, flaky, crumbly texture, it really, really works, not just to season food, but also to add something to the food and elevate the dish.
Great. Now, in a nutshell, how do you actually remove the water from the salt, or how do you separate the two?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's everyone's first question, right? Yeah. Well, how do you do that?
I'm not that smart. It was about my 12th question.
Yeah. Well, so we use boiling. We boil the water to evaporate it.
Okay.
And so just like if you were reducing a stock on a stove, we put the seawater, after it's been strained, into pots on a stove and boil it. And we are looking for the point at which the sodium begins to crystallize. So as we boil it down, the solution that is the seawater becomes more and more concentrated with the minerals that are in it. And we're looking for the point at which the sodium begins to crystallize. And that's, depending on the original salinity of the water, about 90% reduction in volume.
Okay.
And so when we reach that point, we have 10% of the water left that we started with. And it just so happens that at that point, some of the other minerals that are in the water, which happen to be less soluble than the sodium, have already precipitated out of solution. So they're powder or crystals at the bottom of the water at that point. They have fallen out of solution. And so we can strain them out.
Okay.
And at that point, we keep the water warm so that it can evaporate much more slowly, and that's when it forms those flake-shaped crystals on the surface of that tank.
Okay.
And they grow in a horizontal fashion across the surface of the water, and when they become too heavy, they fall to the bottom, and we scoop them out and dry them off.
There you go.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, is this stuff available retail, or is it wholesale at this point, or both?
We do both. We have a website, sellersalt.co, and we have an online store there, and we also sell in a few sort of boutique food outlets. Coutelier Nola in New Orleans is probably our best outlet, and it's really popular with cooks and professional cooks and home cooks alike. And then we also do some bulk package wholesale for restaurants.
Okay, great.
Yep.
So it's Cellar, C-E-L-L-A-R?
That's right, like a salt cellar.
Yep.
If you can imagine, cellars are exceedingly rare in the state of Louisiana because of the high water table.
Exactly.
But the house where we live and where we began to do this actually has a cellar. And so we had designs on, you know, using that space to start production. And we didn't end up doing that because of the flooding You know, and this isn't a particular instance of flooding. It's just we get an inch of water down there every time it rains, so we don't use that space.
Well, Jeremy, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate it. We're here, Jeremy Connor from Cellar Salt. Go check him out, cellarsalt.co, and I hope you're enjoying yourself here at Runaway Boucherie.
Absolutely, you know it.
Absolutely. We'll see you next year, man.
Sounds good.
Take care, folks. Coming back to the NOLA Drink Show. Hey, more to come.
The French Market is open daily with pop-up fresh markets on Wednesdays and Saturdays. The Crescent City Farmers Market is at the French Market each Wednesday, rain or shine, from 2 to 6 p.m. On Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., find new and different vendors offering everything from fresh bagels to fresh herbs. Vendors change weekly depending on weather and seasons, so check them out often. Visit frenchmarket.org for a list of farmers market vendors, chef demonstrations, live music, and special events.
Hi, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy, suggesting that great handcrafted Pinot Noir from Oregon doesn't need to be expensive. Consider Yamhill Valley Vineyard Estate Pinot Noir from the oldest family estate in the Willamette Valley of Oregon. It's rich, ripe, wonderfully balanced, and it's only about $20 at your favorite New Orleans wine shop. Yamhill Valley Vineyard. Top quality doesn't need to be expensive if you know what to drink. Ask for it wherever you buy wine. Cheers.
Hi, this is Kevin Richards with New Orleans' own Sazerac Company, makers of Sazerac Rye Whiskey. In case you haven't noticed, rye whiskey is hot, flying off store shelves and dominating the bar scene in New Orleans and around the country. Rye's spicy and assertive character is drawing in those looking for whiskey with a bite, but that equally pairs well with cocktails. Enjoy it in cocktails like the Old Fashioned or Manhattan, or simply savor it on the rocks. Sazerac Rye Whiskey. The way New Orleans does whiskey.
This is Christopher Icaza, General Manager of Broussard's Restaurant, 819 Conti Street in the beautiful Vaucouleurs. We encourage you to come join us this fall and experience the renovation of one of the French Quarter's Grand Dames. Join us in our beautifully renovated Napoleon Dining Room. Come see our friend Paul Gustings at the beautiful Empire Bar. Experience one of the French Quarter's loveliest courtyards. That's Broussard's Restaurant, 819 Conti Street. Open 7 nights a week and every Sunday for brunch.
Hi, this is Jeff Craner with the award-winning Nottingham Cellars, located in Livermore Valley, California's oldest wine-growing region. Producers of fine wines. Try our clean, crisp 1846 Chardonnay, an ideal pairing with New Orleans seafood. Or our bold, rich Petit Sirah, excellent with steak. To our flagship Bordeaux-style blend, Supremacy. You can find our wines in finer restaurants throughout New Orleans. Hope you enjoy our wines.
Are you looking for the best buns? Well, we have them at Bayou Burger in the Quarter. Wait till you bite into one of our acclaimed burgers like the Cowboy Burger, Tieburger Shrimp Burger, the world-famous Gator Burger, or you can build your own with endless combinations. It's all fresh meat, never ever frozen. Everywhere you look, there's big screen TVs where you'll never miss a minute of the action. Boasting the largest balcony dining in the French Quarter, you can watch all the action pass you by on the street. Find the best burgers in action at Bayou Burger. 501 Bourbon at St. Louis for the best buns on bourbon. It's Bayou Burger, baby.
Springtime in New Orleans is beckoning us back on our front porches, favorite patio bars, and restaurants. Dickie Brennan's Tableau offers some of the best outdoor dining in the French Quarter. Soak in the beautiful weather on the balcony overlooking Jackson Square or by the whispering fountain in the cozy courtyard. Tableau also offers an amazing happy hour from 2 to 6 p.m. every day of the week, offering half-price beer and wine on tap, $5 classic cocktails, and discounted small plates. For menus, reservations, and more, visit TableauFrenchQuarter.com. Tableau is located at 616 St. Peter Street.
Did you know that there's a vineyard and winery making quality table wines just 1 hour north of New Orleans? At Pontchartrain Vineyards, we produce award-winning wines from our 15-acre vineyard, as well as premium wine grapes sourced from the West Coast. Try our light, crisp, Louisiana-grown Blanc du Bois, or have a glass of Chardonnay, Zinfandel, or our Cab Syrah blend made right here in Louisiana. There's something for everyone at Pontchartrain Vineyards. For more information, go to PontchartrainVineyards.com.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the NOLA Drink Show here. Brian Diaz with you and enjoying our last afternoon at Runaway Boucherie, and pleased to be joined by my friend, Roddy Romero. Roddy.
Hello, hello again.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for hooking us up with this whole thing and having us out this weekend.
What a pleasure and a treat. How are you feeling?
You know, it's a great question. After Sunday night being the big night, and I'm going to blame the Lost Bayou Ramblers for playing wonderful
right.
music and keeping
rightfully
me out a little
so,
late.
Rightfully so.
Which was fantastic. And so, yeah, obviously today's now Monday, the third day, and Sunday was Sunday fun day.
All right. Good. Good eats. Good,
yeah, great.
Good,
yeah.
Good people. Yeah, feeling great. It's been a nice weekend, a nice week setting this thing up and with our community and our friends. So it was beautiful. Very excellent. Happy about it.
And I saw you got a little playing in here and there, some music.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to play a little bit of acoustic music with some good old friends that haven't played in a while. And it's nice to show up and wonder what happens and see how it unfolds.
Yeah, that's great. And that's been one of the really enjoyable parts of the weekend, aside from the food and the education and the copious amounts of drink and so on and so forth, is just these nice little pop-up jams that are going on, little pockets all over.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel or think it would be in the same way with all of these wonderful chefs that show up and prepare meals on the spot and, you know, the spontaneity about it. Same with music. It's hand in hand.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and just so for listeners out there, so your band is Roddy Romero and the Hub City All-Stars.
Yes.
Grammy-nominated artist. We always have to get that.
Yes,
in,
yes, yes.
Which is fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
The new record, Gulfstream, is a fantastic album.
Thank you very much again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you guys played recently. We had the good fortune of seeing you out at Pontchartrain Vineyards about 2-3 weeks ago there with Jazz and the Vines. You guys put on a great show, man.
Thank you. What a beautiful spot that was. I never knew that it existed. I'm so happy that there's places like that not so far down the road from us.
Yeah, not too far away, exactly.
Plan on going back.
Anytime. You let me know when you're coming. I'll be out there, too.
Yeah, damn right.
Yeah. So, Roddy, tell us a little bit. How did you get involved with Runaway Dish and then the event here, Runaway Boucherie?
Well, Toby Rodriguez, he and I have been neighbors for the last few years here in Grand Coteau. It really started very simple of two neighbors sitting on the porch and having some good brew and dreaming big. And we thought about this crazy circus that could work out here in the field, invite a bunch of psychopaths with butcher knives and same with musicians and put them all together and see what happens. So
yeah, right.
Fortunately, we also have lots of great friends that are extremely talented, like Denny and Katie. Mm-hmm. And putting this together on the production side of things. So it very quickly took off and started running.
Yeah, it's in year number three, right?
Year three, yes, exactly.
Great. And we talked to Toby a little bit earlier in the show. This is a beautiful space here. This is where it always is, right? And we'll be in the foreseeable future.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, members of the community, they welcome their... with open arms, and they open up their property to us, and we hopefully don't mess it up too bad. At least we clean up our mess when we're gone, so and we're all smiles at the end.
Absolutely. A lot of it's biodegradable. I'm noticing some of the shrimp parts out there
better.
And stuff.
We're getting smarter.
Exactly.
Well, working it out.
That's it. What else does Runaway Dish do besides put on this event?
Well, I'm probably not the best person to speak about that, being on the music side, but they do events all year long, putting chefs together and creating these amazing meals around town. And they also it also benefits the community. It's a nonprofit organization that puts the money back into the community. So, like I said, I've been to a few of the Runaway Dish events, helped out a little bit, gotten to know some amazing people in my own community that I didn't know. So that last several years, for me, it's been really beautiful and a great learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that they throw a hell of a party at the end
of
the day,
party.
And they make people feel good.
That's right. That's
you know?
Right. Now, were you, Roddy, were you responsible? I'm guessing you were sort of responsible for putting the music
Yes.
together.
Yes, and, that's the easy part.
That's man, that was great. And so you had, just to touch on this, your nephew's band played last night as well.
Yes. The last couple of years, we've kind of invited different bands and different artists and seeing what feels good and works out here in the field, of course. This year, I invited Zydeco Radio, which the band leader is my nephew, Billy McDonald, and he's a great band leader. He's writing new songs and recording songs and really pushing the boundaries of you know, whatever we call this kind of music, or Zydeco, the dance style that he plays and performs with his band. And then, of course, Lost Bayou Ramblers, finishing out the night from year one. They've come out and been a part of it, not only just showing up to play music, just being out here and lending a hand and helping out.
They were, I've seen them a number of times, Roddy, in and around New Orleans,
yeah.
And to see them here on their home turf, as it were.
Yeah, right.
Man, backyard. That was, it was a different show. It was a great show.
Great.
Fantastic.
Great.
Yeah, and we're, you know, since you're talking about that with Zydeco Radio, your nephew's band, we were chatting about it last night. It really is interesting to hear, and I know you do this with your music too, it is interesting to hear how these boundaries are changing. And I hate to use the word boundaries, but the use of the wah-wah pedal and some of these other things going on in the music was...
Maybe the landscape is changing a bit. That way it keeps moving forward. There's no boundaries or lines. Our lines drawn in the sand. I feel like there's so much influence and so much fusion in the last 50 years or so, and especially the last 20 years. I've been around and playing music for 30 years now, so I feel like I have my ear on lots of things. With Bill's band, it's mixing a style of a dance hall style of Creole music that became popular 20 years ago or so, but he's taking it further and creating his songs within those boundaries, but, you know, continuing the landscape. It keeps pushing forward and evolving. It's a beautiful thing to watch, and for it to be a part of my family, it's even more fulfilling.
That's amazing. And,
yeah,
and you
like
just
we've
you...
done something right when we can pass on our culture and have it stick the way it does.
And you mentioned the generation behind in your family's carrying on the tradition.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, well, he's not the only nephew. His older brother also plays music, and their cousin, my brother's son, plays music and is in the film industry. And my daughter is now 14, and she is writing songs and performing and doing things for herself. So it's something that we keep passing on and on.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know, we just what you said a few minutes ago, I was chatting with my lovely wife, Sylvia, and I said the exact same thing that you just said. I said it's so amazing to watch this evolve in front of your eyes.
Yeah,
I just had this smile on my face last night, thinking this is just, and you know, music is I know that way in general, but this was such the life form that it took on as we experienced that last night. I was just beaming. It was incredible to watch.
Yeah. All right, good.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. Fantastic. So you guys have a gig coming up this weekend.
We do here in Lafayette. The Southern Screen Film Festival starts this weekend, and producers and music people and I don't know what else, they show up from Los Angeles and New York to Lafayette and throw a couple of parties around town. So we're going to present an evening on Saturday night. Looking forward to that.
And you said you're going to have a little Buck Senegal.
Little Buck's going to sit in with us.
That's
and
great.
I think they're showing a film on Hubert Sumlin and maybe some of the guys that perform, some of the side men that's performed with Howlin' Wolf and those things. So I know Little Buck was a little bit not after the generation, but he was a little bit younger than that is. But he'll be a part of that and just tearing off heads with his Stratocaster.
Oh, man, that sounds like a lot of fun. Like I said to you before we went on the air here, that I was wishing I could stick around. But like you said, it's not too far away.
You can always come back.
Always come back. Thanks, man. Hey, so real quick, what do we got going on here the rest of the day? I know it's a little bit of a dreary day here on day three. Weather cooperated most of the time. But.
Well, this is great. I think everybody had a nice party last night, and it seems like they're cooking everything that's out that needs to be cooked. So we're going to have a beautiful meal later on this evening. And maybe play some music later.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time. Roddy, thanks so much for taking a little time out to sit down and chat here on Ben's front porch.
Thank you,
this
Brian.
Is definitely the studio. Folks, Roddy Romero from Roddy Romero and the Hub City All-Stars, as well as Runaway Boucherie, a wonderful event. Look forward to hopefully coming back next year. Thanks, Roddy. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Folks, coming back to the NOLA Drinks Show. We got more to come.
Looking for a bottle of wine to impress your friends and family? Miro Cellars from California's Russian River Valley is the perfect wine for any occasion. Miro Cellars searches the region for the finest grapes to make their one-of-a-kind specialty wines. Award-winning winemaker Miro Chelikov considers the particular geology and seasonal climate of each vineyard when selecting the most interesting grapes the region has to offer. Because Miro has complete freedom to make precisely the wines he loves best, the results are spectacular. Let yourself in on one of the best-kept secrets in wine today, Miro Cellars.
Hi, I'm Dickie Brennan, and I'd like to invite you to our new Black Duck Bar, located on the second floor of Palace Cafe. Rum is the chosen spirit of Palace Cafe's Black Duck Bar and features an extensive rum collection from all over the world. Be sure to join us for happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m., with half-price small plates, local draft beer, and tap wine. Look forward to seeing you soon at Palace Cafe's new Black Duck Bar.
Time for lunch? We've got you covered at Sobu.
Chef Juan Carlos whipped up special two-course lunches that start at $14.
Try our Creole Cuban sandwich and pair it with a bowl of our gumbo.
Of course, Sobu's full menu is also available.
And don't forget Sobu's version of Commander's Palace 25-cent martinis.
Available Monday through Friday, 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
Join us at Sobu for our speedy lunch at 310 Charter Street in the Quarter.
Complimentary parking next door at the W Hotel.
Sobu, life is meant to be lived, not endured.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the NOLA Drink Show here on WGSO 990 AM New Orleans. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for joining me today here on the show. I hope you found it very interesting. It was an interesting event, Runaway Boucherie. A special set of thanks to Denny and Katie, organizers there with Runaway Dish, Roddy, who we just heard from, his girlfriend Holly, who also helped put it on, Toby Rodriguez, also involved in putting it on, and numerous other people who are basically too numerous to name that were just fantastic to meet, break bread with, experience culture with, really a wonderful group of people. Do check out runawaydish.org. It was, I think, as you're probably gathering or gathered, listening to the interviews, yes, it was a fun event. The zeal and the passion for having a good time. We did some drinking. We did some eating. But the whole thing was very fulfilling. And not only was it fulfilling as in filling my stomach and everyone else's out there with all the wonderful food, of which there was a bounty, it was fulfilling in a cultural sense and an emotional sense, at least for me, to connect with the culture, the Cajun culture, the Acadian culture, and to connect with where food comes from. And I think, you know, we highlighted some of this in some of the interviews, particularly with Toby and to a certain extent Gary Granada from Slow Foods New Orleans. Connecting with our food is really important. And yes, maybe for some, talking about the slaughter of animals, or, you know, butchering and some of these sorts of things, witnessing them firsthand might be a bit difficult, and it's not easy. I think that's some of the point here, though, is that I found these to be very solemn, dignified, respectful, and even, as I think we were saying before, reverential portions of what went on. And that's where, you know, when we're eating meat, if anything, that's where this comes from. I think we get too desensitized by buying ground beef in a little styrofoam plate wrapped in plastic at the grocery store, or, you know, driving through a fast food drive up to buy a hamburger. And frankly, I think, as we all know, in that case, in the case of the latter in particular, how those animals are treated is far, far, far worse than what we're talking about here. These animals are raised with love. They are treated humanely. And this includes all the way through the kill, as much as that is possible. The love and the respect and the fact that the entire animal was butchered and used in some fashion or another, not only for the meal, but for other things as part of the Cajun tradition, and was on full display here. And I think it's something that's important to be seen. Obviously something that I think is shared, of course, with the Native American culture. And that's that influence is certainly part of Acadian culture. So, you know, it's important, I think, to see this kind of stuff, to connect with this stuff. And it's very, I'll use the word spiritual, to connect with other people sharing that. The respect, I think, that went on at that event was
really amazing to watch. And again, I keep using the word solemn and dignified, and that's really what it was and what it should be. And of course, the event then turned at certain times turned into what it also was, which was a party. And it was a celebration of life, a celebration of what we were eating, wonderful music, as we were talking about here, not only the performances by Zydeco Radio and Lost Bayou Ramblers, but also these little jam sessions that popped up all over the place. It was great. You got to sort of wander around, sample food, talk to the different people who were making the stuff, who were growing the stuff. Certainly, we had quite a few drinks. That was also a lot of fun. So, it was a really neat and special event. I also had the opportunity after the event to take some time on Tuesday to wend my way, along with my lovely wife Sylvia, back home here to the New Orleans area. And we took the long way home, which I highly recommend if you haven't done, you do. Taken 90, but we kind of managed to go the back ways here and there. We went out to Scott, Louisiana, the proclaimed Boudin capital of the world. We grabbed some Boudin and some Tasso and some Andouille that we're going to be getting into here pretty quick, I think starting this evening after the sherry tasting over there at Pearl Wine Company. And then we went to St. Martinville. A note there, the original capital of Acadiana, and they were definitely affected by the recent floodings in that part of the state. So some of the museums and businesses there are not yet open. In particular, the cultural center there and the African American Museum there is not yet open, but they're working on it. And I, recommend, hey, go get out to some of this part of the world, spend some money out there, even though the museums, other things are open, restaurants, things like that. Beautiful history, beautiful little historic downtowns. Check that out. New Iberia, also a wonderful place to go. We went to Franklin. We went to Morgan City. Popped down to Avery Island to check out the Tabasco area. In New Iberia, we checked out the wonderful plantation Shadows on the Teche, and that is a beautifully restored 19th century plantation. It's part of the National Historic Trust. One of the few examples, I think, of a plantation, at least in the area, that has been preserved by an organization, which I think kind of is a little bit different in some ways, maybe less money because they're coming from a nonprofit standpoint, but also restored at least as much as is possible to a historically accurate level. And almost everything in the house is actually from the Weeks family, which is who owned the property for generations until actually it was bequeathed to the historical organization. So that's really worth checking out. And they mentioned to us that even their visitorship after, Katrina, the BP oil spill, the recent flooding is down 60%. So they need your support. It's a beautiful walk through history. New Iberia is a neat little town. Go check that out. Very, very worthwhile stuff. Acadiana, it's part of, as we, most of us here know, listening, maybe those outside or others that don't know that are listening to the podcast, Acadiana is part of New Orleans. It's part of what we have going on here. It's part of our food. It's part of our music. It's part of our culture. It's part of our tradition. And it's only, 2 hours at most, in some instances even closer, just 45 minutes, an hour away from where we all live here in the New Orleans area. If you come to visit, please go check it out. It's a remarkable part of the world that I think if you aren't from here or don't know and are here visiting or you're new to the area, you need to put that piece in the puzzle to understand more about what New Orleans is all about and what drink and food is about in New Orleans, because that really matters what goes on out there. So I hope you enjoyed this this show. Again, let's highlight a couple things. Vino on the Bayou going on this Saturday, November 12th, 2 to 5 p.m. in the American Can Building, 3700 Orleans Avenue. Go out and taste some fantastic wine with emphasis on local producers. 100 wines will be out there. That is a good selection, friends. That is a good selection, 100 wines. Nobody can balk at that. Tickets are $40 for the regular tasting, $80 for the VIP area, put on by Whitney Bank. I don't think I mentioned that this benefits the Greater Mid-City Business Association, a worthy cause. So go check that out. Food, all kinds of good stuff. Tickets at the gate are a little bit more expensive, but not much. They go on sale at 12 o'clock. Buy them in advance. Go to pearlwineco.com and buy your tickets. So you'll see us out there. So come say hello. We'll be happy to be there. Also, the Sherry Tasting tonight, we are celebrating International Sherry Week, as we mentioned at the top of the show. There's good stuff going on. Go check out Sherry Fest NOLA, that Facebook group. They got some information there. But the tasting at Pearl Wine Company starts, in just a few minutes, 5 o'clock here in town, 3700 Orleans Avenue, also just like where Vino on the Bayou is coming up. And lots and lots of sherry going on. And then a wonderful documentary at 8 o'clock, all on the traditions, history, process, all that good stuff related to sherry. That's going to be a neat event over there at Pearl Wine Company starting here in just a few minutes. Folks, it's been a pleasure, as always, being with you here today. Please do connect with us on noladrinks.com. If you're listening on the radio and want to catch some of the show again, the podcast will be available tomorrow about midday. That's there on Friday. And it'll also be available, you know, through the website. But if you want to search for it on iTunes, Google Play Music, or TuneIn Radio, just look for Nola Drinks. You will find it there. Connect with us on social media. Just use Nola Drinks pretty much on all the major platforms. Let us know your comments. Obviously, this was a show that was mostly pre-recorded, so not opportunities to take phone calls. But if you do have questions, hit us up on Facebook and or any one of the platforms. Check out the pictures and some stuff that we're going to be putting up from the event here. Some stuff's already there, and more will be coming. That'll be a good way to interact, ask some questions. Certainly, you can call in next week. We're going to have a good show for you. I will be here Thursday at 3 o'clock, as I always am on the radio, and the podcast next Friday. As always, good show shaping up for you, and we'll let you know a little bit more about that on social media and on the website as it comes to be. And Tim, of course, Tim McNally, will be back in here in this time slot, 3 to 5 p.m. on WGSO 990 AM New Orleans with the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show. And I'm sure he'll have a good old Frank Stansberry on talking about everything going on, which is a lot down here in the fall now that the weather's all good. Everything going on in and around town and a whole heck of a lot more. So tune in to Tim's show tomorrow. Join me next Thursday. And, well, folks, until then, cheers, y'all.